everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well. Just praise God. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this evening as we open up our service. Good to see each and every one of you. For those watching on the live feed tonight or watching this at a later date, welcome, welcome, welcome to First Pentecostal in Villa Rica. Does anyone on my right side have a spoken prayer request tonight? Oh, Miss Lori, did you? Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, Brother Jim. That's a compliment. Thank you. Absolutely. We sure will. Did I see another hand? Yes, ma'am. The name of the Lord, we're going to give it to him. Amen. Amen. Anyone else on the right side with a spoken prayer request tonight? All righty. Anyone on my left side? Yes, Miss Julie.
I'm sitting on a prayer request. Do y'all remember Keith? Didn't drive from home to work. He couldn't even drive, but he's got a going on.
Absolutely. We'll definitely lift him up. Anyone else, congregation? I don't want to miss anyone. Yes, Miss Jenya. Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Anyone up on the roster?
I saw the text that Sister
Laura
sent out from Sister Kelly Pace at the hospital. And also the other one is Sister Brenda Key's brother-in-law. She was real sick.
Oh, okay. Absolutely. Goodness, absolutely. Yes. Any unspoken prayer requests, just show by raising your hand. Brother Eddie, would you lead us in our opening prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, and we thank you for your many, many blessings. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for each and every one who's come tonight, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I pray your blessing upon every part of this service. Lord, just let the Holy Ghost lead, guide, and direct
us.
Father, we do remember those who are sick and suffering tonight, any who are afflicted. Father, each and every one of these prayer requests tonight.
Yes, Lord, for your needs.
Please and every name. God, we know, Lord, that you see each individual.
We're praising you.
We pray right now, God, that you would release your healing power on behalf of each and every one of those who stand in need. Pray for our nation. Pray for our country. Lord, and I pray, God, that you would keep those who are traveling, keep them safe. Just have your will and way, and we'll be so careful, Lord, to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. While you're standing, like I said, so good to see y'all tonight. Turn to page 177. Are you washed in the blood? Everybody just sing.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side?
Praise God. You may be seated if you can. It's just again, I'm just excited about being in church tonight. And such a beautiful, beautiful day. A series of days God's given us. Every day's beautiful that He's given us. Just another day. He's given us the breath to breathe and an ability just to live. But these special times, I love this change of season and seeing all the things starting to bloom. And I'm grateful that stuff doesn't affect my sinuses. So I'm just very blessed. Praise God. We're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering. Unless there's any announcements. We have anything? All righty. I just want y'all to be paying attention to the announcements, if you will. There's some things being planned. I know our Sunday school class, we're going to try to sponsor a little hot dog cookout or something, and we're just getting involved in it, just the start of it. But just stay alert to all the announcements from the different ministries and from the all activities that are going forth. Thank y'all. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord just to bless our offering, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful and thankful to be back in your house tonight to worship the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We just bless each and every one that's here, Lord. Bless the one
who's not with us, Lord. We ask you to bless the
offering,
Lord.
We
pray that you hear me, Lord.
We ask
you
to bless
the giving
in
the
name of
your
Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Everybody ready to go to heaven?
Amen. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Do you want to go to heaven?
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I've got plenty of loved ones over there. I've lost just about all my immediate family. But I know that they're there. And I know that they're looking for me to come and join them. And I'm excited about going to see them as well. I'm going to sing an old, old song, and I know that surprises you, but it says, I want to stroll over heaven with you. I want to see you in heaven, and I want us to walk those streets of gold. Y'all worship with me. If I survey all the good things that come to me from above, if I count all the blessings from the storehouse of love, I simply ask for this favor of Him beyond mortal man. I'm sure He'd grant it again and again. I want to stroll. Stroll beauty we long to see here below. But time and treasures have kept us from making plans, as you know. Then lost my place of the rapture. Together we'll stand anew while I stroll over heaven with you. I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day, when all our troubles and heartache have all vanished away. Then we'll
song, Stroll Over Heaven. You know this song that I'm going to do for you. It tells us how powerful God is. And the part I like the most about it in the chorus, when it says, you know, when things go wrong and we struggle with our problems, all we have to do is put our faith in God's hands, you know. And you stop and think about it, it's so easy, but we make it complicated, you know. Just, his hands are there. He'll reach out anytime we ask. And I don't know, why holds us back? And let's admit it, we don't do it all the time. Oh, I can handle that. I can take care of that. I don't need it. And then you fall. Then what do? Oh, Lord, help me. Right? Ain't that right? Okay, brother. Listen to the words in this song.
Of
pair of hands. But I love the part when it says those hands love you. And those same hands were nailed to a cross. Think about that just for a moment. They loved you. And then they were nailed to a cross for what? For our sins. God, man, love him. Thank you, brother.
Remember this exercise and futility of this microphone. We're going to give you a different mic.
Thank you. You know, worthy of it all, is that the key I sing it in, is that a key for you too? Could you back me up on it, just singing? I've got the words. Well, I get complaints sometimes about the keys that I pick stuff in. Okay. Then I might be the only one knowing the words in here tonight. But if you know it, please sing it out. It'll be an E. We'll just start off A and B. 4-4 probably just rounds. Just start with kind of slow. Let's see if I remember the words. I tell you, it's a beautiful song. And it says it all, I think, in the song. You are worthy of it all. Just a glimpse into heaven for a moment. Just A and B.
All these saints and angels bow before your throne, and all the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing, you are worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things. For from you are all things. And to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things. For from you are all things. And to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You deserve the glory. And I'm going to sing that verse again. All the saints and angels.
And all the saints and angels bow before your throne,
and all the elders,
cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing, you are worthy of it all.
You are worthy of it all.
You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things.
You deserve the glory.
You deserve the glory.
You are worthy of it all.
You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
And day and night.
Day and night. Night and day let praises rise. Day and night. Night and day let praises rise. Day and night. Night and day let praises rise.
day and night, night and day, let praise. I'm going to sing it one more time. Day and night, let them rise. Day and night, night and day, let praises rise. Day and night, night and day, let praises rise, you Lord. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you, Lord, from you are all things. To you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Man, just love the Lord with all our heart, our mind, our soul. Amen. Just give Him praise in everything that's done. Good to see you tonight, and we appreciate you being here. I was thinking about the question that Sister Linda asked, are you wanting to go to heaven? And it reminded me of a little congregation years and years and years ago. Preacher was all fired up about talking about heaven, and he asked the crowd, said, how many wants to go to heaven? And everybody but one person raised their hand. And it was a little boy who was sitting right on the front pew. Preacher looked around and said, son, said, don't you want to go to heaven when you die? He said, oh, yes, sir, when I die. He said, I thought you was getting up a busload now. Certainly, we want to go to heaven, amen? That's my goal. That's my destination. That's all made possible. The ticket's been paid, amen, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing on my part except I came to an altar willing, amen, and repentive with a broken and contrite spirit, and Jesus Christ, through His precious shed blood, amen, washed my sins away. How many is thankful for that tonight? If you are, give the Lord praise. Amen. Glory. Well, if you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of 1 Corinthians tonight. Paul's writing, as we were led that way this week, and just reading the exploits of Paul, and what a wonderful man of God he turned out to be. I mean, he knows that it's not always what you were, but it's what you are. Amen. I'm glad God is judging me on what I am now, not what I was before. Amen. There was a conversion in my life, and I'm sure that the Apostle Paul felt the same way. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the first chapter and the first verse, we want to read through verse number 8. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all that are in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your word tonight. God, thankful for your spirit, for those who have gathered here tonight. And Father, I pray, God, that you would just pour out of your Spirit and your anointing upon this congregation. Ask you, Lord, to anoint these lips of clay, God, as just a vessel and an oracle, God, that you might speak to our hearts, that we might be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. And Father, we do, again, remember those who are sick, those who are in the hospitals tonight, those who are afflicted. Father, we pray a very special prayer of healing on their account. Reach out now, Lord, and touch them. We'll be so careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise, and you may be seated. Amen. Praise God. Just good to be here. Amen. I'm so thankful, first of all, that I have the ability to be here. Secondly, that I have the desire to be here. I never, ever want to take the desire for granted. I am so thankful that Christ has put a desire in my heart, amen, to come and gather together with the saints of God, amen, and experience, amen, the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I had a title, tonight's message would be, Only Jesus Can Make You Blameless. Only Jesus Can Make You Blameless. There's some very interesting facts here as Paul begins the book of Corinthians. Paul is speaking to an established church, albeit a young church, a very young church, one that is still growing, not only in number, but growing in the doctrine of this new Christianity that the Apostle Paul was preaching, meaning the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, preaching the cross to a group of people that seemingly had been raised on the Mosaic law, and it was different. It was confusing to some. It was contradictory to some, and there arose some contention in the church at Corinth. And the Apostle Paul was moved on by the will of God, and also there is a man's name here that is only mentioned once. There is another Sosthenes that is mentioned. He was, in fact, one of the priests of the temple, and if you remember the story, he was actually beaten and for upholding Paul, but this was, according to Bible history, a different man by the name also of Sosthenes, and it just mentions that he was a brother, or a brother in Christ, and he saw it needful to reach out to Paul and have him come and minister again to the church. And you Bible readers know that the Apostle Paul started and ministered to several churches, not only to the church at Corinth, but also the church at Ephesus, the Philippi, Thessalonica. So many churches he was instrumental in starting, but he could not be at every church all the time. So he would write letters and epistles to the different churches, but he would usually have somebody that would carry on the work of the Lord that was there. So the Sosthenes may have been instrumental in carrying on the work there at the church. But he saw the need for Apostle Paul to come and minister, not only to minister to the church, but to sort of help them and guide them and teach them in the way of this Christianity that was new and quite different to them. And there, like I said, there was already some turmoil, the Bible history tells us, in the church. And I thought it was really, really good that Paul addressed the blame there. So first of all, we want to understand that it was through the will of God. How many knows that many times we have an unction, or we have a desire to step out and to do something for the Lord? But you know, the Bible encourages us, if we ever do that, make sure it is the will of the Lord and not just our will. In other words, pray. And it's good to seek those opportunities and to seek the ministry or to be a help in the church, but always pray the will of God, especially if you're going to testify or minister or encourage to someone, because many, many times we don't know what to say. We don't know the situation. We can be a shoulder for folks to cry on, but if we pray the will of the Father and the Lord makes the opportune time, amen? You know, many, many times we jump ahead of God sometimes when we're praying for God to move and make a way, maybe in the ministry or whatever the situation is, and we get a little ahead of God sometimes, and we find out that when we have to backtrack a little bit and wait on the power of God. But we already hear and read here that it was the will of God for the Apostle Paul to come to Corinth and be able to minister to the church that was there. So when this brother reached out to him and asked his help to come, then it was the Lord's will. So he came to minister unto the church there. How many knows that God works everything out according to His will? Amen. If we'll just wait on the Lord. So the next thing we know that it was addressed there was the turmoil in the church. Now, it wasn't violent. It wasn't at the point of being rebellious. It was some differing of opinions. How many knows what I'm talking about? You know, I've been asked, do you and your wife ever argue? And I said, we have some very strong discussions, which basically is a nice way of saying, yeah, we don't agree on everything. I've never met two people, I'll be honest with you, that agree on everything. But when you're able to compromise, when you're able to talk those things out, get over those rough spots, and by the will of God, amen, how many knows that God can smooth out the road? So the Apostle Paul was really good at doing this, so he begins to minister. And I want you to know and notice how he does this. He does not come in with guns a-blazing. Well, if you ever want to disrupt any turmoil, come in with your guns blazing. In other words, coming in pointing fingers, accusations, blaming folks for this, that, and the other. I want to read again what the Apostle Paul writes here. He says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus called, or in Christ Jesus, and called to be saints. You see how he's going about this? He's going with a complimentary and an encouraging word to try to put down the turmoil that is in the church, rather than coming in as a judgmental, cracking a whip or whatever it was, saying, give me the person responsible for it and I'll straighten them out. That's not the way you do that, amen, when you're dealing with the church and with the saints. So he goes on to say, they're called to be saints with all that are in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. In other words, the ones that are in contention, he's still their Lord. The ones that are on the other side, he's still our Lord. How many knows and agrees with me that we all serve the same God? Amen? And we need to understand that he doesn't belong to any one person or any one denomination. Amen? He belongs, amen, he is the head of the entire body of Christ, so that's what we are. And sometimes there will be some contention. Sometimes there will be some disagreement. But that doesn't mean the love is not there. That doesn't mean that God has turned his back on us. And then he says, grace be unto you. Amen. Those are some precious words, by the way. You want to calm a storm? Grace be unto you. You know, what are you saying? You're not taking sides. You're not dispelling that there's a controversy or anything. You're just saying, you know, grace be unto you. And those are such encouraging words. But what is grace? Grace is that unmerited favor, that love that we don't even earn, that love that's just put upon us by a loving Father. So he says, whatever your grievances are, whatever your disagreement are, grace be unto you all. And peace. Peace. Amen. Now, there's something when Jesus speaks peace, peace has to take place. Amen. So the Apostle Paul is using that word. Peace, not my peace, but peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen how he says this. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Still encouraging, still complimentary, still trying to put the flames of the disagreement out, but doing it in a way of love and compassion, amen, to those that are involved. And then he goes on to say that in everything you are enriched by him. Now that is a powerful statement right there. Because so many times we think that we're only enriched by God because of the good things that happen in our life. Now granted, if given the choice, I would choose good things over bad things anytime. Can I get an amen? Given the choice. But how many know sometimes we're not given that choice? Because sometimes, and we've preached this and we've all talked about it, sometimes the things that we deem bad or are uncomfortable in our life are the very things that we need at that particular time to grow in the power and the strength of God. Through adversity, through trials, even through persecutions, the Bible says that the church grew and multiplied. So the Apostle Paul is telling them there, in everything you're enriched. Even in this turmoil, even in this contention, even in this maybe dividing of sides, you're going to be enriched by this because the grace of God is going to calm the storm and peace is going to settle in and you're going to grow from this and you're going to understand, amen, that sometimes you won't agree, but you all can disagree in love and then settle the matter. And finally, you know, it's not my idea, not my opinion that counts, but how many knows it's the Lord's opinion that counts? And in this is one thing we cannot argue with, the Word of God. And it wasn't really that. It wasn't really violent or volatile or anything like that. It was just some contention. And guess who loves contention? You said it. Satan loves contention. If he can get something started, if he can get some little falsehood or innuendo or whatever started, then he loves that because he knows all he's got to do is light the spark, and all of a sudden that becomes a fire, and it needs to be addressed in its earliest stages with love and compassion and grace and peace. All of those are wonderful words, by the way. So he says that in everything you're enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. How many has ever realized through knowledge that you learned something that maybe you didn't understand before or maybe even didn't agree with? But when it was explained to you in love, when it was explained to you in peaceful surroundings, that kind of begins to make sense. Sometimes it's kind of hard to explain things. We ran into that on the way to church tonight. I just made the statement. Trey was riding with us, and I made the statement. It was like 6:30, and I said, you know, this time next week, it'll be 7:30. Well, that just kind of blew Trey's mind. And so he began, and I mean, he doesn't ask little simple questions. He asked in-depth questions. And I was stuttering around trying to explain to him about daylight saving time, and you know, it's going to be an extra hour of light in the evening, and that he just couldn't comprehend that, and he started asking so many questions. I said, ask Nana. I'm driving. Tell him, you know, what's going to happen. It's going to be a little bit darker in the morning when he gets up, and a little bit lighter. He'll have an extra hour of daylight. He said, oh, Papa, we're going to have a whole extra hour of daylight in the evening. I said, well, yeah, it'll seem that way because of the change of time. And, you know, because of that one little discussion, I got all tongue-tied trying to tell him something like that, and I wished I'd have just said nothing at all, you know, to start with, and I wouldn't have got it started. But that's how things get started sometimes, and then people want to put their opinion in, and first thing you know, and I know that's a little example, but first thing you know, there's turmoil, there's contention, and you know, the devil jumps right in and tries to cause all that disturbance and all, and when we need to be thinking about grace and peace, we're thinking about separation and all of this other problems that come, and it, you know, not only just in churches, but even in families or even in work situations as well. So the Apostle Paul is trying in his very knowledgeable way to let them know that, you know what, through this you're going to be stronger. Amen. Through this problem you're going to come out victorious. If we could go into every situation with that mindset, not poor pitiful me, but you know what, this is an opportunity for me to grow in grace. This is an opportunity for me to be enriched by the Spirit of the Lord, because I know I can't do it on my own, but I know he's not going to leave me. He's going to make a way even when there seemeth not a way. And you can be enriched by these things. So the Apostle Paul says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Now I want you to notice, not one time has he blamed either side. Not one time has he pointed out an individual. He's been full of compliments. He's been full of grace and peace and just, you know, building them up and reminding them that they are the body of Christ and that you're going to be strengthened through this. And he doesn't come in. And I thought that was so wonderful. Don't we all wish we had supervisors or bosses like that? Some of us do. My wife's very understanding. Amen. Amen, brother. Don't we wish that? Yeah, they, and rather than throwing fuel on the fire, they quench the fire and try to make everything, you know, peaceful. So then he says, so that ye come behind in no gift. Now the gifts of the church need to be in operation. And we know about the gifts of the church. You know, everybody doesn't have the same gifts. It takes the body of Christ working cohesively together. Every joint supplieth, every part of the body supplieth. We need to work together. And you know yourself, when one part of the body is hurt or one part of the body is not operable, it throws the whole body off. Try doing your everyday work with maybe a hurt leg or a sore thumb or just a little finger that's hurting. And all the attention goes to that. But when the body is working together, amen, every person doing their part, lifting one another up, helping one another up. Have you ever had your left hand kind of reach over and help your right hand because the load was a little bit too heavy? Put that in a spiritual frame of mind and know that we are put in the body of Christ to help one another and support one another. And coming behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Sister Linda was talking about it. We're waiting on that. Amen. How many is looking forward spiritually to a better place that we're going to go to? We read the Bible. The Bible tells us that it's a place prepared by Jesus Christ himself. All things, amen, that we have suffering down here, there's not going to be any of that whatsoever. We're going to have a glorious place, but we are striving. We are working. We're not just sitting down with our hands folded waiting on Christ. Amen. We're still sharing the gospel. We're still testifying. We're still witnessing. We're still helping those people, working together as a body of Christ. But you know what? My reward is not down here. My reward is in heaven, and that's where I'm waiting to go. So Apostle Paul reminds them of that. Then in verse 8, he says, who shall also confirm you unto the end? Christ will not leave you. He will be with you even until the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Removing all blame. Now, I know that he's talking about this specific situation that arose in the church. But how prophetic is that too when we think about as a type and shadow of how that things in our life many, many times, and when I'm saying we, I'm talking in general, society, people, sometimes don't want to accept the blame. Especially in this day and hour that we're living in. It is so easy and it is so customary to blame somebody else or to blame something else and not take the blame for something that we know in our heart that we were just as much to blame as anybody else or whatever the situation was. But you don't find that readily in the world today. You don't find it in our news media. You don't find it in our politicians. It's always somebody else's fault. But here's the precious and the wonderful thing that the Apostle Paul slides in there too. And I thought it was so subtle and so wonderful and so beautifully produced and the way that he slipped that in there and told even what he's saying here in my way of thinking is whoever started this, wherever the contention lies, wherever the first little spark of, you know, whatever it was flew up, I want you to understand that as saints, and because of the grace of God, because that we have been sanctified and because we're part of the body of Christ and because we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he said that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I came to an altar of confession, when I finally got right in my heart, I quit trying to blame something else. I quit trying to blame peer pressure. I quit trying to blame others. And I accepted the blame on my own. Yes, Lord, I am a sinner. Yes, Lord, I have failed you. And that's when I really began to have a repentive spirit. But thank God, because that He loves us, thank God because of that unmerited favor and that abundant grace, He forgave me even though I was to blame. And because of that mercy and grace and His abundant love, He is going to hold me blameless even though I was to blame. Somebody ought to shout praise the Lord if you've ever had any blame attached to you whatsoever, and maybe you tried to avoid that, but really in your mind and your heart you knew you was to blame, and you knew that you was in sin and did those sinful things, but the Lord has forgiven us, amen, and when we stand before Him because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of the infilling of His Spirit, we can stand boldly before the judgment seat of God, and we can find ourselves blameless because of the Lord's mercy and grace. Amen. Can you put your hands together for Jesus Christ tonight and what He did in that day of the Lord Jesus Christ? And I thank God for that. He states that Jesus is the one who will make us blameless, even though we were to blame. You remember the story of the elders who had found this lady in the very act of adultery, and they were ready to cast a stone, and they were tempting Christ. And you know how Christ answered? He said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. In other words, who of us, except for the blood of Jesus Christ, could stand before the judgment seat of God and say, I'm blameless? I could not. I know my conscience, and I know the things that have happened in my life, but I also know by faith, amen, that Jesus washed that slate clean. Glory to God, amen. Hallelujah, I'm so thankful for that. No wonder we look forward to a place called heaven to be with our Lord and Savior who did that for us. Now the Apostle Paul begins to address the situation, address the contention. I mean, he knows that you can't just pacify contention, and you can't just hope and wish it's gone. It has to be addressed. Amen? It has to be addressed. Parents, sometimes those children, they have to be corrected. It has to be addressed. Sometimes we have to, even though we love them, and you know, I know as children we think, Lord have mercy, that's love. But it is love. It's tough love. It's actually letting us know that there is punishment for doing wrong, and we have to have that corrected. Amen. And the Bible even says He chastiseth them that He loves. Somebody said, He must love me a lot. Amen. Because that's what we feel. And you know who jumps up and says, God doesn't love you? Satan again. But remind him, oh yes, He does, because the Bible says God chastises them that He loves. I deserve this, because He's trying to straighten me out. He's trying to make me better. Because in all of these things, I am enriched by everything that takes place in my life. And that's what we have to do. So now He's going to address the issue. Now He's going to get the splinter out. You remember when your mom or dad would get the splinter out? They would always test you first. They would just stick the needle, and they wouldn't really dig, and you would scream. And she would say, I hadn't even touched you yet. But you was looking. She said, well, look somewhere else, you know. And then can I get an amen? Anybody else grow up like that? Come on. Me and my brother, we'd screamed bloody murder, and she said, I hadn't even touched it yet. So finally, you know, she'd get our mind off of it, and then she'd get the splinter out. But listen, here's the thing about it. She couldn't love that splinter out. Think about that. She loved me, but she couldn't love that splinter out. She had to address it. She had to get it out. And it's all right to get to the root of the problem, but do it in a loving manner. The Apostle Paul says in verse 9, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't it amazing that first thing He addresses is fellowship? He's fixing to address some of the issues, but He reminds them that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Ghost. Then He goes on to say, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, he's not saying you all got to agree with one person. He says you all got to agree with the Word. You all got to agree with the mind. Let this mind, which is in Christ Jesus, be in you. And there be no division among you. And you speak the truth, and you live the truth. Amen. And you love the truth. So he says, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now, he mentions specific people that brought this to his attention. You know, one of the biggest problems today is this. Somebody told me. Who? Well, I can't say. We are never going to get to the root. You're never going to get that splinter out until you find out exactly what's happened. And you know, sometimes it was just a misquote or a misstatement. It never really was exactly said. But here he mentions, here's what so-and-so said, and they told me that there are contentions among you. Now look what he says. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I of Christ. Listen to this. Is Christ divided? No, he's not divided. Amen. His spirit is good enough, and his comforter is multiple enough to be in each and every one of us, but he's not divided. It is his spirit that can dwell with each and every one of us. Was Paul crucified for you? Boy, that's a great line right there. You know, it's all right to love your pastor. It's all right to love your ministry. But never, ever get to the point that you place those ministries, amen, in something like you. You know, I've seen it happen. They place them almost like in a God position. But that minister should always deter that type of attention and point it to God. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that was crucified for us. Paul wasn't crucified. As good as Moses and David and all of them wonderful patriarchs of the old, they were not crucified. Jesus Christ was the perfect sacrificial lamb. Can you say amen? Amen. That is with no division whatsoever. So he said, Paul was Paul crucified for you, or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? So, if you'll notice, what he does, rather than dwell on the contention, he dwells on the similarities. Wow, isn't that wonderful? He begins to talk about fellowship. He begins to talk, you were all baptized into the Lord, not Paul do it. You know, some of them say, well, I follow Apollos, I follow this, and I follow that. And that's what I try to tell folks, you know, well, I'm a member of this church. Well, that's wonderful. You know, I'm a member of the church. You know, I've dwelled here at local assembly, a First Pentecostal church, but I thank God that I'm a member of the body of Christ. Aren't you? That's what happened. Listen, Jesus is not looking to say, you got to be a member of First Pentecostal church. Please understand, that's not what he's all about. But you have got to be a member of the body of Christ, born again, amen, and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. The similarities, and when you think about it, the similarities far outweigh the divisions or the contentions. And I know this works. This works even certainly in churches, but it also works in personal situations as well. Because if we start going in blaming, it gets all out of hand. And people are easily placing the blame elsewhere. There's nothing wrong with saying, you know what? And, you know, this is the one thing that Fonzie couldn't do. Am I showing my generation now? Fonzie could not say, I'm sorry. He just couldn't get it out. Because he was, in his eyes, he was so perfect. And I was just a television character. But sometimes aren't we kind of like that? I could just never see myself at fault. And, you know, that's not being humble before the Lord. If we are at fault, God is a forgiving God. He's a loving God. He's not going to cast us aside, especially if we come to Him with a broken and contrite spirit. Say, Lord, you know what? I'm not blaming anybody else. I just handled it wrong. I did this, or I shouldn't have done it that way. Please forgive me. and talk about the fellowship and the peace and the abundant grace that the Lord has bestowed upon us. Isn't that a much better way to settle contention? Isn't that a much better way to get the splinter out, the spiritual splinter out? And then, you know, the love came after the splinter. I saw something on Facebook that reminded me. And these two little kids, one of them had fell or something and had a little skin place on its knee. And the other little kid reached down and kissed it. Amen. You know, when we were real, real small, Mama would kiss the boo-boos away. You remember that? Nobody remembers that. Maybe it was just me. And it seemed to work. It was psychological, but it seemed to work because of that love and compassion that they had. So tonight, I want you to understand that Jesus is the only one that can make us blameless. Amen. He's the only one that can wash our sins away. You know, we can forgive one another all day long, but the forgiveness that we need is from the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is plenteous in mercy. Plenteous in forgiveness, amen, and he will get the splinter out. May God bless you. Love you so very much. I appreciate you coming out tonight. And if you have an opportunity, read some more in the book of Corinthians, Paul addressing things. He goes on after that, and he begins to address some moral issues and things like that as a new church. And again, this was a new church. If you don't point fingers and say, oh my goodness, they just had all those problems and trials. Understand it was a newly organized church that Paul had started, you know, I don't know, probably months before. But they kind of lost their way just a little bit and needed some guidance. And thank God that the Lord had somebody to go by and help them out. We all need help sometime, don't we? Amen. Would you stand tonight? God bless you. If you love the Lord, give Him a hand clap of praise. He's worthy of all of our praise. And we thank you for being here. With every head bowed and every eye closed, understand that this altar is open on Wednesday night. God is still just as powerful and real on Wednesday night as He is on Sundays. Amen. You know, if you have a need tonight, please come. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. We'll gather around the elders. If you're sick, we'll anoint you with oil, as the Bible says, and pray the prayer of faith. Amen. Anyone tonight? Well, God bless you and be with you. Brother Jim, if you would come tonight and dismiss us with a word of prayer. Appreciate you all.
Yes, just love the Lord this evening. Just praise God. Hallelujah.
Praise.
Just want to, again, just thank the Lord for allowing us just to feast on His Word and for us to all to gather together. And those watching live, or at a later date, please just put your prayer request in the comments and we'll definitely be praying with you. We just love each and every one of you. All hearts and minds clear? All righty. Praise God. Well, remember the prayers that went out. We know we've already lifted them up to the Lord, but keep those in prayer, those on the flash reports that come out, and also in our prayer box. And also, for all the situations that's going forward, we just know God has got it all in His hands. All righty. We want to invite you to Sunday school Sunday morning too. So as we get ready to depart, we just ask you to love each and every one of you. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you. Lord, we thank you for this evening. You've given us this opportunity we have to come to your house. And in your name, dear Lord, we thank you for allowing us to have the freedom, dear Lord, just to pray to you, to speak to you, and to let you minister to us, dear Lord. We thank you for allowing us to feast in your word. Lord, now as we prepare to part, I ask you to keep each and everyone safe, not here, not only here, but down in the children's church, down with the young people that's outside. Dear Lord, for all the different ministries that's going forward, Lord, we just want to lift them up to you and ask you to bless and anoint. Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name, and we all say, amen, amen. Praise God, praise God. Y'all be careful going home.